Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 145, part 2, Profit and Loss Statement. Today is Sunday, May 2nd, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janina@pastorpaul.org. You will also find scripture links there at the blog. So be sure to join us for both parts on Friday, part one, and on Sunday, part two of Pastor Paul's messages. This is the lineup for the month of April. Our first message, a heavenly rest involves decision. The truth causes battles. Beware the snare. And a profit and loss statement. There you have it, the month of April. Enjoy the podcast. We'll see you back here each week. God bless you.
On top of that, we're going to give you a brand new wardrobe. Is the price $19.95? No, cross that out. Is it $13.95? Cross it out! Pick up the phone, give us a call. And you're under the bondage of that thing. Sounds like a lot of you are under that bondage. I remember one time I got this article and it said, 250 towels. Oh, someone else sent for that one, right? For $50. And I thought, wow, we can cut them in three pieces and I'll have the girls sew them up and we'll have regular bar towels for wiping up tables. 250, three ways, 750 towels. $50. Wow! And I sent for it and this package came in the mail. It was about this thick. You know what it was? It was them paper towels. They were about this size. They were good for nothing. They were like this paper here. I mean, you couldn't dust with them. You couldn't do nothing with them. They wouldn't even absorb water. Don't you see that as a bondage from desires? I mean, we need to get free of those bondages. And Jesus promises us, pray before you order them towels. Call upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble and he'll tell you, he'll give you an answer. Say, no, don't do it. I'll set you free of that thing. Rest from fears. Now, you get into a ministry such as this, a deliverance ministry, you better not be fearful. You better rely on the Lord. You are out there all by yourself. Know what I mean? I mean, we're out here, we're down here in a situation down here, and we're all by ourselves. We are cut off at the pass. Rest from hopes. Some people hope so much that that's why they have hope chests. Free from hoping, maybe you're a lovely girl and you're hoping for a man to come along. Oh, when will he come, my knight in shining armor? By faith, I'm going to put on this wedding dress. By faith, I'm going to put the cake out here and I'm going to set the table. And by faith, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to wait for him to come. Well, you better pray for somebody to take the cobwebs off your face. He's never going to come like that. Even scare away the mailman. Free from the bondages of hoping all the time. See, a person that's always hoping can never cope with things because they live in sort of a miserable fantasy land. Oh, I hope my children change. Well, they're biting you in the leg. They ain't going to change till you pull down their pants and blister their bottom. I said it, and I'm glad. Now, I hope it all works out. I mean, you ever have somebody tell you something like that, and you're in a miserable mess? Well, I just hope it all works out for you. You're laying there, you're in a starvation, your face is sunken. We're going to pray for you. We hope it works out. Praise God. Where's your faith anyway? Hopers. See, when you have hope, then you have action, and you work, you go out, your faith starts working. You know, I hope it works out. But you got to be at work with it. But you're free from that thing. And the rest, I said, for the consciences of men. You got an overactive conscience? Huh? Some guy, I remember when I first got saved, I was so afraid of swearing in church, I was under bondage. And I thought, I'm going to get up, I'm going to say that word. I know it. I'm going to say this word or that word or a whole paragraph. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And I went out in my car and I thought, I'll get it out of my system. I said that word over and over and over again. Isn't that crazy? Well, I didn't say I was totally insane or totally sane. Huh? So I got up at church and I told them, now I might swear and shock you all, but I'm going over and I'm crossing over and I might stub my toe on a cactus and a wrong word will come out, okay? And they all looked at me like, well, who cares? But that's where my conscience was at. I couldn't get no rest on it. That might sound silly to some of you, but those are little things that just bother a person to death. There is a perfect rest to be had. Rest from all the burdens which the cruel fellow of hell, I believe, has piled on you. And I believe it's yours if you will have it. If you can believe for it. How many in here will have it? I'll have it. Will you have the rest? I want the rest. I want rest. Lord, I will have your rest. What a blessing. I mean, we should leap forward with great intensity of spirit and say, wow, Lord, I'll have it. Lord, I will at once enter into your rest. Right out here in the middle of this desert situation, I will enter into your rest because I'll enter into your promise that if I'll keep on going, finally I will make it over to the other side of this trial, of this desert. Maybe there'll be a pile of graves back there. But Lord, I want to enter into your rest. I don't want to listen to all these people out here complaining. Lord, I want to enter in. Deliver me. Yes, Lord, deliver me from the slavery of sin, and I will serve thee all the days of my life with gladness and with delight. And the biggest sin there is unbelief, because you can't do nothing with unbelief. It is impossible to please God without faith, and faith is a believing faith. Oh, Lord, deliver me from this thing. Put me into a holy service. Only deliver me from guilt. Hallelujah. See, the gospel of rest is preached unto us as it was preached to the Israels and Israelites in Egypt. Have you understood it fully? Have you grasped the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ? Have you understood the completeness? Have you received it into your hearts? Have you mixed the faith with the gospel so that it's real to you? That's why there's so much disinterest in the gospel, because it isn't real to people. But note next that the good news for Israel was the gospel of redemption. Here they were slaves of the Pharaoh. How then could they become dwellers in the land of Canaan? Egypt, it said, held them with an iron hand. But listen. With a high hand and an outstretched arm, Jehovah their God, shall I bring you out. And you know what? He did. And he will. And he does. Because connected to this arm, this outstretched arm, there was a price of sacrifice. They were redeemed, and I believe typically, by the blood of the Passover lamb. It says that the blood was sprinkled on the lintel and on the two side posts, and that preserved their houses when the death angel came a-calling into Egypt. Listen, we need to rejoice because the Lamb of God was slain for us. An atonement has been made. Christ, it said, paid the price in full, and that's the glorious gospel. And until you believe it, and still you rejoice in it, you aren't going to be happy. God, it says, in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself. I believe when the person dies, And someone were to be to ask them that question, well, where are you spiritually speaking? They're not going to talk about how you are justified in yourself. You just say, Lord, I just hope, God, I'm just praying that you will be just to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you will. It's a promise. It's already done. It's such a great message. And I believe blessed are the lips that tell this good news. Do you want to be happy? Then talk about the redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Go ahead and gladly proclaim this. Testify to every person that they can be justly set free, just as justly as you've been set free. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, the gospel preached to Israel is the very same gospel which is preached to us, typically. Only we have it more plainly, and we see it in substance rather than shadow. Now you heard the word of reconciliation and you know its meaning. Have you rested in it? Or do you get back into a continual guilt trip? Have you come to Jesus? Have his wounds become your resting place? Is the blood your covering? Now, when you get rooted and grounded in love like that, you ain't going to be falling all the time. So let's go on. It was a gospel of separation. When you read the words of the Lord to his chosen ones, you see he set them apart for his own purposes. Did you know God set you apart for his own purposes? I said that a lot of times when I wanted, in my early part of my ministry, I wanted to cut and run. And I knew the Lord had set me aside to do something, to do a work. When you're set aside to do a work, isn't everybody going to agree with you, don't you know? They just won't. Well, here, we only had two that believed. Out of all those millions. You understanding? I mean, a whole generation had to pass away. And he told the Pharaoh, it says in the word, let my people go. So here we have Israel that was in Egypt, but Israel was not part of Egypt. No Israelite could become an Egyptian. They were affected by Egypt, but not absorbed by Egypt. And like them, we are a very peculiar people. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're in Egypt, but we're not part of it. It says that we are his jewels. These are the chosen ones he gave to the Son, and Jesus owns the gifts, and he speaks of as many as thou hast given me. You are the Lord's portion, the lot, it says, of his inheritance. And I believe it is by means of separation that we find our rest. You have to separate yourself. Sometimes that's not easy. Maybe you have a friend that's a compromising friend. I've had to separate myself for the particular work that I'm doing down here. I've had to separate myself since the beginning of my ministry. Because I've been shown that the gospel message is, where were you when I was sick and a prisoner and a widow? Where were you when I was a hungered? Where were you when I was in jail? Where were you? And I got called out to go through. When I went through, I couldn't get back. But if I won't go over, then I got to suffer the heat in the cactus. I got to go on. I got to press on. It won't be popular, but you'll have the rest that remains. Praise the Lord, right? No, I'm just not into that. I'm not into standing out in the middle of the desert claiming things. You got to go stake your claim. You got to take the hammer and you got to take the stick and you got to put the word of God on the front of there and you stake your claim as you go. Whoop! And you put it in there and then you keep on going. You say, well, this is the Lord's territory. And then you take another 5-10 miles and you hit another stake in there with the word of God on it and you keep on going on. You never turn back. You walk as much as you walk over, then you claim it. You claim it by walking over it. Are you hearing this? We are the Lord's portion, I said. We are the lot of His inheritance. And our rest lies where God hath prepared it. And He cries out, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. This isn't your bag. I remember going to a meeting one time and I felt totally out of it. I had no rest there. And there were, it was an assembly of people. Maybe 10,000 people. And I was there and I was going out and they had their little luncheons and they were doing, I'm not against any of that. That's all right, but I had no rest there. Because there were people back in the city that were suffering. And there was a job to be done, and I had a pot that I was scraping, and I wondered if the person got the pot cleaned, and just stupid stuff like that, nothing. But that what came to my mind when I was sitting there. I wonder if that pot got cleaned. I was just totally out of it. That'd be the same as me marching on. Unless God told me and lifted me up by my armpits and put me on the steps of the Capitol, I wouldn't go there. All right, forward! And everybody goes to Washington. Where everybody flies down for a convention in the Bahamas. Well, why not have a convention right down here in the kitchen? Huh? Why do you have to go all the way over there? Might get knocked in the head by a coconut and die over there. Getting your rest under some tree. The Bible says, here we have no abiding city. We are strangers and we are foreigners. After I got saved, I noticed the world looked kind of strange to me. Isn't that strange? And I felt like a stranger because I came into my job and I went down to my business and I said, praise God, I'm born again. And I thought, am I talking in Chinese? They looked at me like, what? One more time and slower, please, huh? We are not now what we were, nor what others are, for John says, ye are of God, little children, and the whole world lieth in the wicked one. See, they lie in the wicked one, but Christ, being humble, lies in us. Yeah, he comes and lives in us. Well, when you go to the proud one, you got to go jump in his dunghill. That's how humble the Lord is. He comes and lives right in, God comes and lives right inside us. Isn't this the gospel of separation which called us out from the rest of mankind? So you see that ours is the gospel of rest. Ours is the gospel also of sacrifice. And ours also is the gospel of separation. Now, whether you're just separated by the way you talk. You just don't talk the same language. Just like I said, it's like you're talking in Chinese. Did I say any word in Chinese there? Not one, huh? Oh, you don't know Chinese. Yeah. Are you hearing this? And you separate yourself by the manner of your speech and by the manner of your walk and by your dedication to wanting to go over. So you just separate yourself. Where are you going? Well, I'm passing over. Hey, hold it! And just keep right on passing over. Stop! How about us? How about me? I'm passing over. Wait a minute! Hold it! And their 40-year-old kid hanging onto your pants. Huh? You keep right on going. Keep right on the rest that remains. Go on after God's rest. Have you left the former places? Oh, man, I used to live on a bar stool. Have you left your former ways? Do you obey the Lord and His purpose? Oh. There's so much flesh that comes in when you're obeying the Lord. God. Wars against the Spirit. Then maybe four or five other people's flesh comes over and helps your flesh war against the Spirit. Do you follow in the footsteps of Jesus? I remember walking through the snow and this guy had great big old number 14 shoes or something like that. It looked like the abominable snowman. I thought, praise God for this man's big old feet because that just makes it so easy for me. And I could just go in his steps. It's the way it is when you're walking through trials. Jesus breaks trail for you. Are you following in the footsteps of the Lord? Yeah. Well, then you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated in the house of your friends. The man's enemies will be them of his own household. Because the gospel preached to the Israelites told them of the glorious heritage which was provided for them. A land, it said, which flowed with milk and honey, a land of wheat and barley, a land of figs and oil and olives, a land of not irrigated by labor, but one that was washed and watered by the rain from heaven, a land of rivers, and out of your innermost being, the Bible says, spiritually speaking, will flow rivers of living waters. Out of that once desert that lied within you, as you pass over in your experience and your emotions and your desires and all your frustrations are knocked down and the stronghold is knocked down and God raises up a standard, out of your innermost being, hallelujah, will flow rivers of living waters. But it comes by having the guts to pass on over. A land which the Lord fought upon. A land out of which the bowels they might dig up brass and iron. These things also are ours, aren't they? But we got to come on out of the wilderness. But they also were preached the gospel, I believe, by a divine calling because they were informed that they were not to enter into the land to be idlers in it. Don't enter in and then just get into idling. But it says that they would be a nation of kings and priests. In a holy land, they were to be holy people. You sluggards out there, you cannot rule from a waterbed. So stop idling and get up before you get seasick. See, if they would have believed all the way, if they would have grasped it. Listen. Strangers, it says, shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of God. And when you get to heaven, you're going to have, it says, angels serving you. What a heritage. See, we've been called to believe in Jesus Christ, on the other hand, haven't we? And then, and in Him, to become kings and priests in God. So you don't have to pray to some saint. You are a saint. I just prayed to Saint so-and-so. Not scriptural. There's only one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can burn 4 million candles. It won't do you a bit of good. It'll just smoke up the house and make a mess. You can have all that paraphernalia and statues and all those things and be meaner than hell itself. But also the gospel. They had a gospel which promised them to obtain all this. How do we get it? How do we obtain it? It says that the Lord gave them traveling mercies and conquering aids. And for us, our aids are angels. Not once, but three times in my ministries under the very heavy anointings of the Lord, and sometimes just standing there, I have had groups of audiences seeing two angels standing on either side of myself in different parts, four or five people have no connection to each other, four or five parts of the assembly. You know why they were there? Because I believe they were there, because the Lord spoke to me and told me that they were there, and I always knew they were there. But confirmation came when people said they were right on the side, right, either one on either side. It's worth crossing over for. God says He'll send you conquering aids, warring angels. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. Whew. I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Means they're going to take off. With us, the Spirit helpeth, it says, our infirmities. The Lord will subdue our iniquities, overcome them, overpower them. And it says that God will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Your feet, your heel. Bible says, thanks be unto God who giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are weak, then we are strong. My grace is sufficient unto thee, it says. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, it says. Therefore, I believe I may gladly sing, the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now, I'm going to close with this. I believe the very true gospel is no new gospel. It is the old wine which is better than the new wine with all of its fermentation and froth. And so let's look right now today at why and look at Israel's failure to profit by the gospel which they heard. Though they heard it, many of them, it says, clung to Egypt. You'd think they'd be glad to get out of that furnace of afflictions, but no. They said, let us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians. Will you just leave us alone? Don't your kids say that, you know, when they got friends, when they're teenagers? And will you leave me alone? That's my friend. You talk about my friends. Praise God, I didn't have a whole lot of that, but I know it goes on because I was one of those guys that did it. And they will not hear of leading their friends. We want to serve them. We want to serve the Egyptians. We want to serve our friends. Next, they complain. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Who told you to do this anyway? I would have been better off to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. But they weren't doing anything. They were just sitting there. Okay, now you took us out. What next? Oh, come on, carry us. There's only 4 million. Come on, lift us up, man of God. Come on. Drag us along. Did you ever get into that with somebody? You got this work. What next? What next? What do you want to do? Come on, tell me what next. Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. Huh? And they just cop an attitude? You ever been around a person that cops an attitude? Well, you work with the same people every day. Do they ever have an attitude? And they get up with it? And you have to live with it all day? Well, cross over. Cross over. Either the person will change, but you'll have your rest. Do you ever find you're with this person and you cannot have your rest all day long? They will not let you rest. Well, then cross over. Isn't there a song like that? So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. And it fades out into the desert. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. You might be such a good example that that person will start running down through the sand after. And you end up singing together. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. But now I must be passing over, my friend, oh. And again, they whined because they wanted the leeks and the garlic rather than the bread from heaven. All this manna is for nothing. Man, I want some onions and some leeks. I want the garlic. Know how many Christians sit with their lips all puffed up, crying over the way it used to be. There's a lot of that going on right now when all these fads have passed away. The gospel message will always remain. It's always there. And all the fad preaching is just... They're sitting around, and how many, listen, worse still, they provoked, it says the Lord, with their murmurings and by idolatry. They vexed the Holy Ghost. And after all of God's miracles, You know what they remembered? They remembered to make a golden calf. And it says they danced around this old calf naked. The word preached didn't profit them. Do you have an idol over God? Moreover, they were always mistrustful. They couldn't endure a little thirst for just a little bit of time. I'm thirsty, 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 thirsty. I want to drink, 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 drink. Your kids ever do that? Just a minute. I just got this side of the floor. But I want to drink. I want to drink. I'm dying. Can't you wait for a minute? How many moms have said that? Put your hands up. Isn't there no moms in here? Can you wait for a minute? Well, not if you're on the phone, because they know you're going to be on there all day. But I mean, I get a kick out of it. If I want to find something out about a house, I say, here's a phone for you and Judy. Now, you get on the other side of the room, and you get over here. And these kids are only like 3 years old. And you put this kid over here. Yeah. You better listen to this. Listen on the radio real careful. And you put the other kid over here and say, now you call up your best friend and tell her you're going to go shopping. And just talk about the neighborhood and talk about different things like that. And then you go hide someplace. Very revealing. Very revealing. Very embarrassing also. I tell you, I've learned not to listen to those kids. How many hearing this? Ooh. Getting awful quiet in here. I'm not going to pull it on anybody. I mean, I gave it up. Sometimes they talked about me. Ooh. But whatever trial happened to them, they were frightened. After taking them through the Red Sea, after all of these miracles, and they saw them all in Egypt, all the frogs and the lice and the raining down of the blood, and, you know, all those different things. And so the days of the Lord were filled with provoking the Lord. They lusted after the flesh and they ate quail until they got sick.
Oh, God. I ate the whole thing.
And aren't we producing the very same thing right now? The end of it was the wilderness, and the whole generation died there. And the very men that stood by the Red Sea and said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, now saying, sorrow, sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. So to them, the inspiring gospel of the promised rest had no profit. Because they didn't believe it. Did not believe it, refused to believe it, and wanted to live in past. And so let us take inventory of ourselves. Do you still cling to sin? Do you still love it? Would you be, you know, are you willing to go to heaven, but you're unwilling to part with the world? Are you willing to say, I am a sinner and get saved? Are you provoking the Lord to jealousy by setting up false idols? And are you loving yourself and loving your sin and loving your error and loving the world? And are you distrustful towards the Lord? Now, I know I'm talking to people, gospel hearers, that haven't received the gospel yet. They heard it. Do you have ears to hear, Jesus says? Or are they just hanging on there so you can pick them with cotton swabs? Is that all they're good for? Do you have ears to hear? Are you always hearing but never receiving? If you hear, you're going to get up. Do you see I don't have time? I got to make a living. Are you out there and you're not born again and you're saying that? Are you sighing after the flesh? Do you see I cannot conquer my evil ways? You're right, you can't. Are the giants too strong for you? Do you love the manna of the holy joy and fellowship and the bliss and the life in Jesus Christ? Is it so? Will you fall in the wilderness? What caused the calamity? It wasn't the fault of the gospel which they heard. It contained all. It wasn't the fault of the preacher. Moses, it says, was a man of meekness and a man of gentleness. All Christ-like he was. It wasn't the fault of the confirming signs from God. And it isn't now. Believe and live, or doubt and die. It wasn't the lack of the Holy Spirit that these people made the gospel a failure to themselves. No, it wasn't that. For we read that the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Today, if ye hear the voice, harden not your hearts." And it's the same right now. Well, you're asking me on the radio, you're saying, "Well, what was the cause? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Where there is no faith in the gospel, no good can come from the gospel. If the dead rose, if a mannequin stood right here and spoke to you, if angels preached the gospel and you didn't believe, what good would it do? They didn't believe God when he came. Where there is no faith, men remain slaves to the very present age. And if they didn't believe in the milk and honey in Canaan, I'm telling you right now, you see why they wanted the cucumbers of Egypt. They couldn't believe for that, so I said, "I can believe for a cucumber. I can believe for an onion rather than believe for an estate beyond the Jordan." I mean, if you're sitting here today and you're hearing but you have no faith, you learn nothing. No, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you hear it and you receive it, it builds up your faith. When it builds up your faith, now you got something to mix it with. So we-